Welcome to another episode of the Oncology On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Roman Fabricator. In a recent interview with Cancer Network, Viviana Cortiana, medical student at the Department of Medical and Surgical Sciences at the University of Bologna, and Jan Leifman, resident physician from the Icahn School of Medicine of the Mount Sinai Health System, both part of MedNewsweek, discussed their latest publication in the March 2025 issue of Oncology, titled Expanding Horizons in T-Cell Lymphoma Therapy, a Focus on Personalized Treatment Strategies. Throughout the discussion, the author spoke about the current lymphoma landscape, CAR T-cell therapy, and the evolving understanding of the tumor microenvironment. Specifically, Cortiana covered a shift from histology-based classification to molecular tumor type classification using next-generation sequencing, as well as a growing interest in biomarker-driven therapies. Regarding the limited efficacy of cyclophosphamide, doxorubicin, vincristine, and prednisone, or CHOP, in T-cell lymphoma, she listed combination therapies for angioimmunoblastic T-cell lymphoma, AITL, combining PI3K and HDAC inhibition, and CD30 and TRBC1 targeting CAR T-cell therapies. Furthermore, Leifman discussed strategies that reprogram the tumor microenvironment to address malignant T-cells, particularly through the use of epigenetic and adoptive cell therapies. Leifman concluded by discussing future implications for T-cell lymphoma treatment, emphasizing an emergence of precision medicines and armored CAR engineering strategies.
So in T-cell lymphoma, how are specific genetic pathways being utilized to define subtypes and inform personalized treatment strategies, and what challenges remain in translating this knowledge to clinical practice?
So the advances in the next generation sequencing and gene expression profiling have recently reshaped and are currently reshaping how we classify T-cell lymphomas, moving beyond histology towards molecular subtypes. For instance, AITL often shows mutation in TET2, DNMT3A, IDH2, and RHOA. This prompts interest in epigenetic therapies like we have seen azacitidine and HDH inhibitors. ALK-positive ALCL responds, for example, very well to ALK inhibitors like crizotinib, and even broad categories like PTCL and OS are now being divided based on gene expression, and each unique pathways have the possibility to be then potentially targeted. These insights are therefore guiding biomarker-driven treatments as seen in trials like, for example, GUIDANCE-03, which pairs mutations with targeted agents. There is therefore growing interest also in the JAK-STAT pathway and the PI3K-AKT pathway inhibitors as well. However, we also have current challenges. For example, TCL is rare and also heterogeneous. Therefore, trial enrollment is limited and remains limited, and many mutations aren't yet druggable. Therefore, access to NGS also remains uneven, and novel agents are often limited in relapse settings, therefore more advanced and critical ones. Therefore, future progress remains to be, especially in finding better biomarkers, combination strategies, as well as collaborative trials to bridge the gap that we currently have between discoveries and also clinical practice, routine clinical practice.
Perfect, thank you. So given the limitations of CHOP therapy in PTCL, what are some of the most promising novel agents of combination therapies currently in clinical trials that could help improve outcomes for patients with relapsed or refractory disease?
So unfortunately, CHOP so far has shown limited efficacy, especially in the relapsed refractory PTCL, but novel approaches are currently emerging, which is encouraging. For example, epigenetic therapies are especially promising in AITL. For example, we have seen azacitidine plus chidamide, which show, for example, more than 90% response in trials. We've seen also combination like duvelisib, which is a PI3K inhibitor, together with romidepsin, which is an HDAC inhibitor, which are achieving very high response rates with also an improved safety, which is also always a concern. We've also seen CAR T cell therapies, which target CD30 or TRBC1. For example, we have AUTO4, which are showing durable remissions, and agents such as, for example, golidocitinib, which is a JAK1 inhibitor, by specific antibodies. For example, we have AFM13, which are producing encouraging results. But we are also seeing that we need rational combinations. Together, novel maintenance strategies can be promising also trials and are currently showing promising results. And these trials mark a shift towards biologically guided and subtype-specific therapies, which could potentially have better durability and also safety.
Great. So transitioning a little bit over to CAR T cell therapy and its challenges with T cell lymphomas. So the article did discuss fratricide and T cell aplasia. So what innovative strategies, such as targeting CD70 or using non-T cell CAR therapies, are being explored to overcome these obstacles?
So CAR T cell therapy in T cell lymphomas does present several unique challenges. Fratricide and T cell aplasia are two of the biggest ones. Now, fratricide happens because CAR T cells and their malignant T cells share many of the same surface antigens. And so at the end, they wound up attacking each other. Now, T cell aplasia, on the other hand, happens when you have healthy T cells that are wiped out along with the cancerous ones, and that leads to immunosuppression. Now, to address this, researchers are exploring a few innovative strategies. One such strategy is using CD70. Now, unlike other common T cell antigens like CD5 or CD7, CD70 is expressed in many T cell lymphomas, but has limited expression on normal T cells, and thus this makes it a much safer target. A great example is CTX130, which is an allogeneic CAR T cell product that uses CRISPR to then knock out CD70, TRAC, and beta-2 microglobulin genes. And essentially, this results in reducing fratricide, improving persistence, and avoiding an overall immune rejection. In early clinical trials, it shows encouraging responses with a manageable safety profile. Looking forward to seeing the next results. Now, another really exciting and encouraging area is the use of non-T cell CAR therapies, especially CAR NK cells. Now, since NK cells themselves don't express the same T cell markers, they're able to sidestep the fratricide issue altogether. And as a result, this reduces the risk of T cell aplasia. So, for example, you have a CD70 targeted CAR NK, which is derived from cord blood. It has shown strong preclinical activity against T cell lymphomas without the drawbacks that we have seen in traditional CAR T cell based platforms. Now, beyond this, we're also seeing clever genetic engineering approaches like protein expression blockers that then trap antigens inside the cell that then prevents surface expression, or CRISPR mediated deletion of these antigens to make CAR T cell fratricide resistant. Some strategies are even using transient CAR expression or even safety switches to limit long-term depletion of these healthy T cells. Now, there's also a lot of interest in using CAR T cell therapy as a bridge to transplant. Now, once you've debulked the tumor with CAR T cells, you can then follow up with stem cell transplant to help reconstitute the immune response and avoid prolonged T cell aplasia. So overall, this field is really moving fast, and we're finally seeing strategies that can tackle these hurdles head on, making CAR T cell therapy a much more viable option for patients who have aggressive T cell malignancies.
So in T cell lymphoma, how is the evolving understanding of the tumor microenvironment influencing the development of novel therapeutic strategies, including targeted therapies and immunotherapies?
Our growing understanding of the tumor microenvironment has really shifted in how we think about treatment. Now, these lymphomas, they're unique because the malignant cells themselves are immune cells. And so the tumor microenvironment plays an outsized role in disease progression, immune evasion, and all treatment resistance. Now, we're learning that it's not just about tumor killing cells, it's also about reprogramming the microenvironment that they live in. So the tumor microenvironment essentially is complex, to say the least. It includes immune cells like regulatory T cells, tumor-associated macrophage, and myeloid-derived suppressor cells and stromal components, all of which combine to an immunosuppressive tumor-supportive environment. Now, malignant T cells are able to manipulate this microenvironment by overexpressing immune checkpoints like PD-L1, CTLA-4, LAG-3, and then downregulate antigen presentation and also secrete suppressive cytokines like IL-10 and TGF-beta. Now, this deeper insight is fueled also by a wave of new therapies. For example, you have checkpoint inhibitors like pembrolizumab and nivolumab, which are being explored in relapse refractory cases. Now, they themselves are not alone magic bullets, but in some subtypes like cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, they've shown promising response rates. We're also seeing interest in dual checkpoint inhibitors, like combining PD-L1 and LAG-3 blockers to then overcome deeper layers of immune suppression. Now, targeted therapies themselves are being designed with the tumor microenvironment in mind. You can take things like devilisib, which is a P13 kinase inhibitor that not only affects malignant T cells, but also reconditions the tumor microenvironment by altering macrophage polarization. Similarly, ruxolitinib, which targets the JAK-STAT pathway, is able to reduce cytokines that help tumors thrive. And then there are epigenetic drugs like romidepsin and temetostat, where we're able to rewire the gene expression in both tumor cells and the environment, sometimes making the cancer more visible to the immune system. So we're also moving into an exciting territory with adoptive cell therapies, CAR T cells, CAR NK cells, which are being engineered to not only avoid fratricide, as we've spoken about recently, but also a major hurdle in T cell lymphomas is also to target markers in the microenvironment, like CD70, CD30 on TEMs. Now, some are even being modified to secrete cytokines like IL-12, which then are able to effectively flip immunosuppressive macrophages to become tumor fighters themselves. Antibody drug conjugates like brentuximab vedotin are another example. They target CD30, which is found on both malignant cells and also part of the tumor microenvironment. And they're able to deliver a cytotoxic payload, and bispecific antibodies are bringing T cells directly to tumors. They're able to bypass some of the suppression in the tumor microenvironment. And this is all very promising in how these therapies are being combined. You have checkpoint inhibitors with P13 kinase inhibitors, epigenetic modifiers, and immunotherapy that then are able to break through multiple resistance pathways all at once. And then in some cases, the treatments are helping patients to bridge curative options like transplant by resetting the tumor microenvironment. So overall, there is a global shift in thinking from treating the tumor to treating the tumor in its context in giving us more durable responses and new hope in what historically has been a very tough group of cancers to treat. Essentially, the future is bright, and through personalization therapy, by matching therapies to a specific tumor microenvironment and molecular profile, I feel we will be able to have a maximal efficacy on this disease.
That was perfect. So I know the article kind of covered a broad range of topics, and to kind of condense it into this discussion, where do you see this field headed in the future?
So we're currently in a very pivotal moment. Some may call it the Renaissance of oncology, where emerging therapies are not only tweaking what's already been done before, but they're also fundamentally reshaping the landscape. Now, one major shift is how we're engineering the next generation of CAR T cells. So traditionally, CAR T cell approaches have been challenging in T cell lymphomas because of issues like fratricide and T cell aplasia. And so as a way to circumvent this, we've seen a move toward CAR NK cells, which are able to avoid those pitfalls because they don't share the same surface markers. Now, early trials are promising, and I think that we'll see these becoming more prominent, especially with improvements in persistence through combinations like IL-15 co-expression. But future studies remain to be evaluated. Now, we're also getting more creative with how we design CARs. We're able to leverage things like trochocytosis, informed receptor sharing to boost immune activation, multi-antigen targeting and combat antigen escape, and then thinking bispecific or tandem CARs that can then hit two or more targets simultaneously. And this is particularly useful in a very heterogeneous disease. But we're not stopping at the cancer cell itself. There's also a growing realization that to be successful, we have to reprogram the tumor microenvironment. And to do this, this means engineering armored CARs that are able to secrete IL-12 or IL-8 to then flip the tumor microenvironment from an immunosuppression to immune activating phase. And on a parallel track, we're seeing more combination of checkpoint blockade approaches, PD-1 inhibitors that are paired with LAG-3 or CTLA-4 agents to then reinvigorate an exhausted T cell and enhance immune response. Another fascinating area is precision medicine. So as we learn more about the genomic drivers like EZH2, JAK-STAT, TET2, we're also developing therapies, some of which are already in trials. And then you add to that a new generation of antibody drug conjugates with better payloads and dual activation against both the tumor and the tumor microenvironment supporting cells. And then you start to see a much more tailored therapeutic arsenal. We're also thinking more strategically, how do we integrate these therapies using CAR T cells or NK cells as a bridge to transplant, or even incorporating strategies post transplant with agents like P13 kinase inhibitors to prolong the remission? Now, these approaches are early phase trials, but they have real potential to really change the outcomes of long-term care. Now, on the horizon is also in vivo CAR engineering, where essentially you're turning a patient's own T cells into CARs directly inside the body. And this is gaining momentum. This could make cell therapy production faster, cheaper, and more scalable. And then if you combine that with existing CRISPR-Cas-based editing approaches to then reduce graft versus host risk and make off-the-shelf therapy safer, then you really have a very promising future where these treatments are not only more effective, but also more accessible to the mainstream as well. So, in short, I really see a future of T cell lymphoma therapy moving toward more personalized, scalable, and a tumor microenvironment informed strategies that have better durability, less toxicity, and hopefully, the ability to convert these historically tough cancers into chronic or even curable conditions. So, it's a really hopeful trajectory, and I'm very excited about what the future holds.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology on the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcast. The Oncology on the Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network.